All right. Hello, my name is Dr. Francina Turner, and I'm an oral historian conducting an interview with Ms. Courtney Hinton for the Reparative Histories and the Black Experience Oral History Project at the University of Maryland. And so first question is, was Hinton your last name when you attended the University of Maryland? Okay.
Yes, it was.
What's your hometown?
My hometown was Bowie, Maryland.
Bowie?
Mm-hmm.
When is your birthday?
November 1st. Do you need the year too?
No. Okay. How would you describe your life prior to enrolling at the University of Maryland in terms of family, home community, things of that nature?
Okay. I lived in Bowie with my parents and my younger brother. I was the oldest of two siblings. I would say we were tight-knit. I was going to high school bused away about like 30 minutes from my home, Central High School, for the IB program, the International Baccalaureate program. Mm-hmm. It was a very small school. My graduating class was maybe 200 people. I grew up in Prince George's County, which is a predominantly Black county. And known for being, like, at the time, it was one of the, I think maybe the wealthiest Black community in the country. Mm-hmm. So my school was a reflection of that. Yeah. But my town, not necessarily. It was starting to become more predominantly Black Bowie. But that actually was historically a white area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your parents or your guardian's background?
Sure. My parents actually grew up in Mississippi. They moved to the East Coast when my father attended Howard University Law School. He graduated in 1980. My mother, her professional background is, she's a registered nurse, but she also went on and got her MBA. So she hadn't done clinical work in a long time. At the time I graduated high school, I don't think she was working. I think she took a couple of years off. She had gotten sick and she took a couple of years off. So my father was the only one working at the time. And he was working where he still works now, senior counsel for Geico. Mm-hmm. And my mother had been working, I want to say she was working at the Washington Hospital Center, and she'd been working there, you know, my entire life, because that's where I was born. But she was not working when I graduated high school and started to attend college.
Okay. How did you make the decision to attend the University of Maryland?
So I've been thinking about that today, just about the lack of nurturing I got in terms of deciding on a college and deciding what to major. But I had attended the inaugural Maryland Governor's Institute for Technology this summer between junior and senior year. And so we spent 5 weeks on Maryland's campus that summer, and I fell in love with the campus and I had a great time during that program. So Maryland became one of the schools that I applied for. I think I only applied to three schools. I applied to University of Maryland, Baltimore County, University of Maryland College Park, and University of Southern Mississippi, because that's where my parents went. I got accepted to all three. I don't know why I didn't choose UMBC, but I know I didn't want to go to Mississippi. I just applied because my parents told me to. So Maryland became, you know, the top choice.
Okay. What year did you enroll at the University of Maryland?
I started August 2002.
Okay. And how did you come to choose a major?
Well, I thought I was going to go in doing computer engineering or computer science, but I did not test into the math part. So I came in as a letters and science freshman, and I stuck with that until it was I had to declare at the end of my sophomore year. My experience on campus is really what pushed me into the major that I chose ultimately, which was African American Studies. Mm-hmm. It was really challenging for me that first semester, going from my small school that was majority Black into this huge institution, and not having the confidence, not having the nurturing, not having a lot of things that I probably should have had to do well. But my African American Studies courses that I took were the places that I felt most at home and I did the best in. So I decided to declare that major.
Okay. Okay, so this question is really about your first time on campus as a freshman, but you had been on the campus as a part of another program. Can you mm-hmm. walk through your earliest memories of being on the campus? Like the first time you hit campus.
The first time I hit campus. I remember it being very big. I will say one of my first memories, and I've had several of these experiences since I've been there. It was during that summer program when my father was moving us in, mm-hmm. And he got a parking ticket, you know, and I had several of those over the 5 years that I attended Maryland. So I remember that for sure. I remember the campus being very big. I just remember it being big. I grew up in the county, but it's not like I spent a lot of time. I never had a reason to go to the campus before that program. And I just remember, you know, always being, I lived on campus my first semester freshman year. Freshman year, I stayed on campus, but I had a class that was a 30-minute walk from my dorm. And so that was just like huge.
All on the same campus?
All on the same campus. It was in the English building. And so, you know, I lived on one side of school. I had to walk all the way across. I just remember it being very big. Beautiful. Like the mall, McKeldin Mall, is beautiful. But I remember it just being very big.
Okay. You mentioned that you lived on campus your freshman year. Is that the only year you lived on campus?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That first semester was pretty traumatic for me. I think I was actually experiencing some depression. It wasn't diagnosed until much later. Mm-hmm. But my first semester was really hard. It got better the second semester, but, you know, my father was excited to not have to pay for room and board, and he was a commuter, so he encouraged me to move back home.
If you don't mind my asking, and if you don't want to talk about it, that's okay as well, but what happened your first semester?
Oh, my first semester, I think, so looking back, I know I was dealing a lot with imposter syndrome, not believing that I belonged there. I was a part of the College Park Scholars Program. So mm-hmm. I lived in the Living Learning Program. And so I was in the Science, Technology, and Society Program. So I lived with a whole bunch of other computer engineers or whatever. I think there was only one other Black girl on my floor, and then another only Black girl in the whole other building. So it was like three of us in the building, mostly Asian people who were really, really smart in a way that I didn't think that I was smart. So I didn't really connect. I also didn't connect with a lot of the other Black students on campus yet, because I didn't live in those bigger buildings to have a chance to connect with them. So I felt, one, that I didn't belong there, that I just got in because I was Black. What else? So I was dealing with that. It wasn't even like I was partying a lot, but my GPA was really, really bad. It was in the toilet. It's the lowest GPA I've ever had in my life. And it was also the first time I faced failure. So I was one of those students that just sort of naturally excelled, and I didn't really have to apply myself. But until I got to college. And so it was really hard to adjust to that. Yeah.
Okay. Did you belong to any campus-based social organizations? And if so, did you hold any leadership positions?
No. Social? No. I did some things with the RAs or the whatever, the, it was like a, my first year, I did something where I was a representative, I guess, for the RA. I forgot about that. I did that. I don't think I had a leadership position. I don't know. I don't think
well, that is a leadership position.
Okay. Okay. Well, then that I did that. And what then, we would plan events, right?
For what does RA stand for? I'm sorry.
Residents or association. I don't know. It was something with the residence assistance.
Oh,
but I wasn't an RA.
Yeah. Maybe it was the Resident Hall Association.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. It's been a long time. I'm getting older. I don't remember these things. So I did that for my freshman year. I remember I represented the dorm and we planned events and things like that. Mm-hmm. Any other social things? I know I participated in the Freedom School that the African American Studies Department did, but I didn't hold a leadership. I was just a volunteer. I can't think of any other social things that I did in college. After that first year, it was pretty much, you better graduate, girl.
Can you tell me a little about your participation in the Freedom School?
Yes. So after I declared my major, a lot of my coursework was in African American Studies Department, which helped me know what was going on and how I could do it. So we held, I don't know if I did it for more than one semester or not, but I know we would hold sessions on Saturday mornings. And I want to say that they were middle schoolers would come and we would teach them about leaders in African-American history. What else did we do? I feel like we did more than that, but that's all I can remember right now. But I remember participating in that.
Okay.
Oh, that's not true. I also did a couple of events with the NAACP chapter on campus. Like we volunteered and I remember doing that, but that's about it.
Okay. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you remember of campus activities during your time at UMD, like parties, concerts, speakers, any that really stick out to you?
Yeah, I was pretty much a loner. So I didn't really do a bunch of the big things. I fell in love with the Cleary Smith Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. So I would always go to their $5 concerts or plays or free plays, get the free student tickets. I remember seeing this singer, an opera singer. He was a tenor and he was absolutely amazing. They had this special for Black History Month one year. And he came, Darius DeHaas, like I still know his name. I follow him now because his voice was so amazing. I remember seeing Dr. Maya Angelou when she came to campus. So I would pretty much do all of those things. Sometimes they brought some major acts for like homecoming. I would sometimes go to those. I don't remember going to a whole bunch of campus parties outside of like the Cleary Smith Performing Arts Center, which is where I probably should have majored, you know, in music or the arts, because it's still my passion. But that's what I remember. I mean, I remember some comedians coming. I remember Wayne Brady coming to campus. I think Spike Lee came. I remember going to see him. So I remember going to people, like public figures coming to speak or entertain. But I didn't do a whole bunch of parties and things like that.
How would you describe race relations on campus during your time?
That was part of my angst and my depression. It was the first time ever in my life that I felt more than just being the only person of color, but like the only Black person in certain classes and it being like problematic because it would be like, I remember there was this one class that had discussion breakout and I was the only person of color. And I think there may have been maybe one other woman. So it was mostly white men. And there was a lot of mansplaining and a lot of that going on. And that at that time, I didn't have the verbiage or even the experience and the confidence to call it out or to speak up. So that was kind of like uncomfortable. And then at that time, the Chappelle Show was on. So it was like white people were saying things and having access to the Black experience in a way that they probably wouldn't have if they weren't being marketed Black content through the Chappelle Show. So there was sort of this awkwardness going on. I think in terms of just, that's just my experience, but in terms of race relations, I don't remember anything like as triggering as some things that happened after I left. I think there was like a Gangster's Paradise party while I was there, where some white fraternity would dress up in blackface, that type of thing, I think did happen. I don't remember if this happened while I was on campus or afterwards, but like there was a noose at Nimburu found. I don't think that happened while I was there. I think that happened later. But one thing I do remember is I got the chance to study abroad when I was in school, and I went to Ghana. And when I got back, I had a really, really hard time. And I would play this game in my head. It probably wasn't productive, but I would count the number of Black faces that I would see as I was walking in between classes. And if I got to 10, I would start over, but rarely did that happen. So that was, it was tough for me.
When you studied abroad in Ghana, was that a year program or a couple of weeks?
No, it was a semester. So it was 3.5 months. And it was through the School for International Training. So I actually became like a transfer student for that semester. Yeah.
How would you say, did other UMD students go to Ghana with you?
Nope, it was just me.
Okay, so, and you said when you came back, it was a little difficult. Mm-hmm. But what was it like being in Ghana?
Oh, that was amazing. That's when I first, I don't know if you like, when you, you know, the whole journey of life is discovering yourself. But when I was in Ghana was like the first time I saw myself. I feel like the person I am now began in Ghana. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. Like I just met up with a friend of mine who I last saw in Ghana, but we actually went to high school together, but she lives there now. And to hear the way that she saw me in high school, that she can see some remnants of that now is, mm-hmm. Is almost unbelievable to me, because I don't think I started to become who I was until I went to Ghana. It was very freeing. It was very affirming. I made friends there that I still have today. Like that's where I feel like I got my college experience. Like the things that people talk about college, I have one friend from Maryland that I keep in touch with, and that's it. But I have friends from Ghana, mm-hmm. that are like my sisters, and like I keep in touch with them. And part of that is about being in a Black nation. Part of that was actually being away from my parents, you know, like that was, it was good. And it also tapped into who I am. I'm an explorer. I love adventure. So putting myself in a foreign land, you know, it woke me up to the strengths that I have. And then also the content. We were studying the history and cultures of the African diaspora, but focusing on resistance, which is something that isn't taught and it's not documented. So it was very empowering. It was a very empowering experience.
In which physical spaces on campus would you say you felt the most welcome or maybe the least welcome?
I definitely felt very welcomed and very safe at the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center, for sure. Let me think. I didn't spend a lot of time there, but I guess it felt cool to be in Nimburu, the cultural center. Where else? Where would I say I felt the least welcome? A women's studies class I took once. I would say there were just certain classes where it felt like the professor would have been better with, you know, that was way before DEI work, you know, it was way before they knew what to do with a Black student or whatever, or having, which is crazy, not crazy. It always used to irritate me that Maryland would toot its own horn about its diversity statistics, but there didn't really seem to be any real diversity. So I would say there were certain classes that I took where I felt uncomfortable. It was not like a particular space.
Okay. So when you were in those particular classes where, excuse me, one second. So in those spaces where you, in those classes where you felt uncomfortable, was it the subject matter, the teacher's way of running the classroom? Like, what about it made you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, it would be the attitude of the professor. The one woman's studies course that I'm speaking of particularly, on the first day, I remember it was this tall woman and she had this air about her. Like, she never could put on her microphone by herself. She'd always have a TA do it for her. And on the first day, she was like, I'm so happy to see so many people of color in the classroom. And it's this large lecture hall. Like, I remember like a couple of us looked around at each other like, what? You know, like, what are you, what? And then, you know, I remember she singled me out once because she was walking around and asked the question and I just didn't have an answer. She goes, did you read the book?
Oh,
like, yeah, I was like, okay, I got you, you know. So it was things like that. And then there was another course where it just felt like the, I don't know, it was, this was a required course for the Science, Technology and Society, the Scholars Program. And it was a white man teaching it. And I remember, I don't know, there was this contentious relationship that we had. And I, because it was a living learning, so one of my hallmates was also taking the course. And I remember he shared with me that even though he was Asian, he got graded poorly. And he said it's because the professor thought he was another Asian kid in the class who never spoke, you know? So it was like those types of things. That always made me feel uncomfortable.
Were there any professors or even staff members who stick out to you as having been supportive of your during your time at Maryland?
Absolutely, absolutely. I was thinking about him today, actually, because he passed away. Wow. Jonathan England, who taught for me the 101, I don't know, it's like an introductory course to African American studies. And I remember his reputation far outstood it because like I didn't even take it until my junior year because I couldn't get into the class, but I'm glad that I waited. But he was always very supportive. He was so passionate about what he taught. And ironic, he's a white man, but he was so like the definition of an ally. He was really committed to teaching, he was really great. There was also, at the time, she was not a professor. I don't know if she's teaching there now, but I actually see her when I go out sometimes. I don't know if she goes by Dr. Rochelle Williams. She was a TA while I was there, and I took a Black women's studies course with her, I think a couple of courses with her, and she was always really supportive. And supported like my studies. Dr. Frances Wilson was supportive of me. And Dr. Richardson, who I believe is still there, he was my advisor for my senior project and he was really supportive. I actually, although he was a little bit of an asshole, someone in the English department, Dr. Willie Schatz, I think is his name. He was supportive in a way, but yeah, those are the people that stick out to me that had like a lasting impression on me. Yeah.
Okay. If you could, I want you to walk me through your memories of the last time you walked off the campus as a student.
Okay. So I had an interesting situation because I attended graduation, but still had to complete a summer course before I graduated. But I don't think I went back on campus after that. So it might've been graduation. It was a happy day. I was relieved to be almost done. You know, like I remember that month before slaving away to get my senior project done, all that research and keep up with all the coursework. So it was sort of just like relief to be done. I remember going to a couple of graduation parties and, you know, my friends came, my family was there, you know, two people who, like several people who aren't alive anymore. Think about that. Like they were with me. I felt relief. That's a word. You know, relief, accomplishment. Yeah.
Did you pursue any further education after you graduated?
No, I did not.
What has been your professional life since graduation? Where are the places you went?
I have done everything, almost everything. Immediately after, I did a little internship at the Greater Washington Urban League while I was looking for other work. I was just an assistant to the, the assistant to the executive director or the deputy director. I don't know what her role was. And then I walked into corporate America in the operations department of a medical informatics company. And that was not fun at all, but it was like, that was but around 2007, in the middle of a recession. So it was like, you get a job, you take it. I did that for a couple of years. And then I wanted to nurture that travel bug in me. I thought I was going to do the Peace Corps. And I applied, but during the application process, they told me I should get more volunteer work, working with HIV and AIDS and young people. So I started doing that type of volunteer work while I was working at the medical informatics company. And then I decided to work. I got hired for the organization I was volunteering for. So I was an HIV tester and counselor, working with the 16 to 24 year old population in DC. Did that. And then I also got a part-time job doing that at the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Then after that, I transitioned into broader public health, working as a community health worker for an organization, a pilot program. And so when that grant ended and our jobs ended, I switched back to corporate again. And became an executive assistant, going back to operations, and did that for a while. And then I stepped out on my own. And so I've been supporting, for the past 2 years, I've been supporting consultants doing operations consulting, but also graphic design and video editing, and creating some music. I'm working on my first EP. So I sing sometimes professionally and do graphic design and operation support. I also did a podcast, and that's where I feel like I used my degree. So
do you have an active podcast now?
No, I did one season, I had creative differences with my co-host, so we decided not to move forward with anymore.
Okay. What's been your, I feel like you might've addressed this already, but I will go ahead and ask, what has been your relationship to the university since your graduation?
I haven't really had much of a relationship. You know, they call me and ask for money sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't give money directly to the university. I probably will never do that. I would give money to the African American Studies Department. And if they asked me to do more, I would. Mm-hmm. But I don't really have much of a relationship with the university.
Okay. And our closing question is there anything you like to share referencing your time at UMD as a message to current or future students, particularly Black students?
I would say that, you know, the reputation that Maryland has is something that students should take advantage of and be resourceful. You know, the African American Studies Department while I was there was a nurturing home for me. So if there's a student that's struggling, I would say to reach out to use them. I would also encourage Black students, if they've never experienced counseling or therapy, to take use of the resources available because they're free to students. It might be helpful for the things that they're experiencing on campus. I would also say that Maryland is unique because of its location to other universities. So if Maryland isn't doing it, Howard is not that far away. You know, Bowie State is not that far away. Reach out, use those resources too. I would say to use the resources that Maryland has to take you where you want to go. Because it's such a large university, it's going to require someone that's got a clear plan and a lot of confidence to make it work. But it's possible. It's definitely possible. So I would say, you know, if someone is struggling, to definitely seek out counseling, maybe seek out the African American Studies Department to get some support. But do your best to enjoy it, and then recognize that there are other sources for support nearby if they aren't on campus.
Okay. So that closes the interview questions I wanted to ask. Is there anything else you may want to add before we end the recording?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much for agreeing to participate. And if I have any additional questions, is it okay to reach out?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.